Okay, we're beginning here 8 lines down on the top of Pei Zayin Mun Aleph. Gemara is continuing with what we left off with yesterday, which was that Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rabbi Yossi, added an additional day to the Shloshet Yemei Hagbalah. And how do we know that? Titanya of a Braita, Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Midato, for 3 things that Moshe did of his own volition, Viskima Kadosh Baruch Hu Imo, and God acquiesced after the fact and said that he was right in what he did. One of them is Hosif Yom Echad Midato. He added an additional day to the waiting or preparations for Har Sinai. Uperesh min Aisha, he separated from his wife. Shiberet Aluchot, and he broke the Luchot. Now the Gemara is going to go through each one of them. Hosif Yom Echad Midato, he added an additional day, Maidorish. What was the drasha that he used in order to do this? Hayom Umachar. It says that you should separate today and tomorrow. Hayom Kimachar. Today should be like tomorrow. Malamachar Lelo Imo, just like tomorrow. It's a full 24-hour period. It's the night and then the day. Afayom lelo imo. So too, today it should be the night and the day. But the day that he comes down and commands Bnei Israel about this, it's the daytime because he's coming down in the morning. So v'layla da'idna nafle. But today's night already passed because we're talking about in the morning. Shmamina. So it must be that Hashem meant treyomi the bar ma'idna. 2 days besides today itself. Umilalon diskim akosh baruch yado. How do we know that God acquiesced and agreed with him? The lo shari yeshchina at safra de shabta. Because ain't alchanami, Hashem doesn't show up on our Sinai until Shabbat morning. So it shows that according to Rabbi Yossi that Rosh Chodesh was actually on Sunday and Shabbat was Zayin. The fact that Hashem didn't show up till Zayin indicates that Hashem agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's waiting for 3 days and then only having the Mamad Har Sinai on Shabbat. As Tosafot points out over here, it cannot really be a full-fledged limud. If it's a full-fledged limud and it would have made sense midoraita, then that's one of the shloshesir midota Torah, and that wouldn't be considered that Moshe Rabbeinu did something on his own. So it has to be over here that we're talking about a quasi-drusha, because you didn't have to make this connection. It doesn't have to be this way. And therefore, it's a quasi-drusha that Moshe made in order to justify his position, but not necessarily that it's a mukhrach. It has to be that way. And that's why, after Moshe did his own volition, Hashem acquiesced and agreed to that. Uperesh min Aisha. He separated from his wife, Maidorish. Again, what was the drusha that he made? Nasa kal v'chomer be'atzmo. He made a kal v'chomer. Amar, Uma Yisrael shelo dibra shechina imhem ela sha'achat. Hashem only spoke to them for a momentary time. V'kav lehem zman. And he set the exact time when he's going to speak to them. Amra Torah. Nevertheless, there was a tzivoy ve'yu nechonim that you have to prepare yourselves. Al tikshu al isha. Do not be together with your wives. Ani shekol sha v'sha shechina midaberet imi. V'enu kol levi zman. That he speaks to me at any time or all the time. And he doesn't set a specific time. Al-Khad Kama. Certainly I have to separate from my wife. How do we know that Hashem agreed? Because it says, after Mamad Hasinai, Lech Emor Lehem, Shuv Lechem, No Lechem. Hashem says, command Bnei Yisrael to return to your tents. Their tents being their wives. But you remain here with me. So the rest of Bnei Israel were granted the permission to go back to the wives, but Moshe was not necessarily granted that permission. And some say, comes from the fact that Shem said to Miriam and Aaron that Moshe was justified in his position because I speak to him face to face. And therefore he is justified, or it is right that he separated from his wife. Tosafot does raise the issue here. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu did it of his own volition? Maybe when Hashem said to the rest of Bnei Yisrael, Shuv Alechem Nolechem, then Moshe understood that he shouldn't, and then he separated from his wife. How do we know that he did it on his own? The Tosafot says, number one, because later on, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moshe for separating from his wife. If it was a tzivui from Hashem, they couldn't have criticized Moshe. Must have been that he did it of his own volition. That's number one. Number two is, the command here was for Moshe to remain with Hashem. But it seems that Moshe separated from his wife even prior to that. And that's what Tzipporah tells Aaron and Miriam when they see Eldad and Medad, that the Mitnabim Ba'am, that they have a Ruach HaKodesh, the Shoreh on them in the Am. And Tzipporah says, oh, woe to their wives, because now they're not going to be together with them anymore, just like I separated from Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see from that Tzipporah was indicating that there was a separation above and beyond what Hashem had commanded. And that's why Aaron and Miriam criticized Moshe, as well as the fact that we know that Moshe did it of his own volition and not just because of the Tzivoy Hashem. Shiberet haluchot, he broke the luchot, my darish. Again, what was the drasha that he made to break the luchot? Marma Pesach shuachad mitaryag mitzvot, the Pesach, which is one of the 613 mitzvot, Amra Torah. Nevertheless, the Torah says, V'chol bein achar lo yochal bo. Nobody who nitnakru ma'asav aviv shebeshamayim, Someone who worships Avodah Zarah, someone whose heart is not whole with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, may not bring the Korban HaPesach, may not eat from the Korban HaPesach. HaTorah Kula, here we're talking about the entire Torah. U'Yisrael Mumarim. And Bnei Yisrael now are Mumarim, they're worshiping Avodah Zarah. Chad V'Kam V'Kala, certainly. In this case, we should not have them accept the Torah. We know in the scheme of Kodesh Baruch Hu Yado, how do we know that God agreed to Moshe's breaking of the Luchot? Shenei Amar, Asher Shibarta. Hashem says to Moshe about the luchot that you broke. V'amar Reish Lakish, don't read it as Asher Shibarta, but rather, Ye Yasher Kochacha Shishibarta. To read the words as if Hashem was saying, it was a good thing that you broke them, you did the right thing by breaking them. Now Tosfot again points out over here that, Ein Ze Kal V'Chomer Gamur. This is not a full-fledged Kal V'Chomer again, because the Mumar Asur V'Pesach Shu Korban, if a Mumar is Asur by a Korban, because the Korban of Pesach might have a unique status, and that is why a Mumar is prevented from bringing a Korban of Pesach, he should have given them the Torah and tried to have them do tshuva. There are many mitzvot in the Torah where a mumar is not precluded from doing the mitzvah. This is something that's unique to the Korban HaPesach, and therefore to extrapolate it to the whole Torah may not have been a full-fledged Kal V'Chomer. There is a beautiful Marsha over here that explains exactly what transpired on Har Sinai, because what's not understandable over here is that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbein already up on Har Sinai that Bnei Yisrael are already worshipping the Egel. Yet Moshe does nothing. He doesn't break the Luchot, doesn't do anything about it. He asks Hashem for forgiveness. Then he goes down. Only once he sees the Egel does he break the Luchot. Why didn't he break the Luchot when he's up on Har Sinai? So the Marsha says over here, Eino domeh riya kishmiya. There's no comparison between seeing something and hearing something. A person sees something, seeing is believing. And Moshe Rabbeinu, even though intellectually he knew that Bnei Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah, until he sees the Egel, it doesn't drive him or doesn't give him the emotional strength to break the Luchot. So despite the fact that he knew about this information up on Har Sinai, he doesn't break the Luchot until he sees Bnei Yisrael. Obviously, there's also the other impact that Bnei Yisrael should see him breaking the Luchot that also has impact on Bnei Yisrael. Tashma. Pasuk says, Ve'yenu chonim l'yom ha'shelishi. You should be ready for the third day. Kasha the Rabbi Yossi. That's a problem for Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that there were 3 days, and then only on the fourth day did they receive the Torah. Where it says, Amrinan yom echad osif Moshe midato, enochanami. From the Pasuk, you're right, they would have sounded on the third day. But, because Moshe added the additional day, that's not what it turned out. Tashma. We have a cryptic braita that we need to explain. It says, Shlishi, Shlishi b'chodesh, v'shlishi b'shabbat. The third day of the month, Gimel. Sivan, Vishlishi Beshabbat, and Tuesday. So Kasha the Rabbanan. That's problematic for the Rabbanan, because if Tuesday is the third day of Sivan, that means that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and that's like Rabbi Yossi. Means that on the Shlishi, they got the Tzivoy of the Hagbalah on the third day, and the third day was the third of Sivan, which is the third day of the week, which is Tuesday, and that all works out according to Rabbi Yossi. That's a problem with the Rabbanan. Amalcha Rabbanan, Amani Rabbi Yossi. That bright is authored by Rabbi Yossi. You're right. Enochanami, it doesn't agree with our position. Shlishi Lamai. What does it mean, the third of? The Ketanya. Vayashav Moshe et Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. Moshe returns what the people said to Hashem. Divrei Ged Moshe et Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. And then the Psukim say that he told Hashem what the people had said. Ma Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Amar Lohem Moshe L'Yisrael, Umar Amaru Yisrael L'Moshe. Part of the dialogue seems to be missing. Umay Shiv Moshe L'Fnei HaGvura. So what happened here in terms of the dialogue is somewhat difficult, because the psukim seem to indicate that Moshe returns to Hashem twice with information that he received from Bnei Israel, which is in Pasuk Chet, it says, Vayinu kol am yachdav yemru kol aser diber Hashem na'aseh. And then it says, Vayashev Moshe divrei am el Hashem. So we know what he took back. Then Hashem says to Moshe, Hinei anochi ba'alech ba'avanan, bovo yishma am b'dabri imach, v'gam b'cha yaminu le'olam. And then the pasuk continues and says, Vayaged Moshe divrei am el Hashem. The Moshe tells what the people said. We don't have any information from Hashem. We don't have any information about Moshe relayed to Bnei Yisrael. We don't have any information about Bnei Yisrael said back. And then Moshe's already relaying something from Bnei Yisrael back to Hashem. So there is a missing piece of information. So zu mitzvat hagbalah divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. This is the mitzvah Hagbalah, and that's what we saw in yesterday's daf, that they rejigger the psukim so that the mitzvah Hagbalah is taken away from Pasuk Yud Bet and moved up in between Pasuk Chet and Pasuk Tet. To tell you what was the mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael got on that day, that was the mitzvah of Hagbalah. That mitzvah of Hagbalah, then Moshe responds to Hashem and says, yes, Bnei Yisrael kept the mitzvah of Hagbalah, and then only then does he get the mitzvah of Hafrashah on the next day or the subsequent day. Rabbi Omer b'tchila perish unchaag dichtiv v'yashem Moshe dvarim shemeshavivim dato shel adam. Also perish matan tzcharag dichtiv v'yaged Moshe dvarim shemoshchim libo shel adam ke'agada. So Rabbi says, no, that the two responses were about the two different aspects of Torah. There is the aspect of Torah, which is the negative, the onshim, the punishment for not keeping the Torah. And then there is the positive side, which is what are the benefits or the goodness from keeping the Torah. So when Moshe went back, the two times he went back, it's not because there was some sort of incident that took place in between, but rather Moshe is responding to these two different aspects of the Torah. Vayashev Moshe divrei amel Hashem is with regards to the things that make you crazy, drive you crazy, the punishments and the Haggadah that Moshe takes back to Hashem, which is again Moshe divrei amel Hashem, is about the positive aspects of Torah, and that's what he returns and says to Hashem, that Bnei Yisrael have accepted both of those. Vigada Amre, that it's just the opposite. B'tchila pirish matan tzchara, d'chtiv v'yashev Moshe dvarim, shemeshivim dato shel adam, things that draw people, that draw them in, that encourage them. Ulaso pirish onsha, d'chtiv v'yaged Moshe dvarim, shekashim l'adam kegidim, that are hard for people, like gidim, like sinews, that are very hard, things that are difficult to hear. And those are the punishments. So either way, according to Rabbi, there was only one instruction, which was that Hashem wants to give the Torah to Bnei Israel. But Moshe broke it into two parts. He broke it into a part speaking about the punishment and speaking about the goodness or the benefits of Torah. And the two replies that Moshe brings to Hashem relate to each of those aspects. Tashma. Shishi, Shishi b'chodesh, Shishi b'shabbat. The sixth thing, which we don't know what that means, the sixth of the month, and that is Friday. So once again, Kasha the Rabbanan. It's difficult for the Rabbanan. It works well for Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that the Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and that would make the sixth of the month Friday, and that would be the sixth day being the sixth of the month. But for the Rabbanan, that wouldn't work so well, because the Rabbanan have Rosh Chodesh on Monday. That means the sixth of the month is on Shabbat. Again, the Gemara says, Anami Rabbi Yossi, this bright is author Rabbi Yossi. So now the Gemara says, Shishi the Mai. What's the sixth that enters the bright? We understand the sixth day of the month, and we understand that it's the sixth day of the week, but what's the sixth that opens up? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar l'chaniyatam. It was the sixth day after they had encamped at Har Sinai. V'adabar Yaakov Amar l'masa'an. It was the sixth day after they had traveled to Har Sinai. V'kamif l'gei b'shabbat d'mara. And they're arguing about the Shabbat of Mara, d'chtiv, because the Aseret HaDibrot in Parshat Etchanan says, with regards to Shabbat, as if Hashem already given them the information about Shabbat, and that drives the Midrash that Bnei Israel accepted the mitzvah of Shabbat in Mara prior to getting to Har Sinai, and that's what is meant by Hashem sam lo choku mishpat b'sham nisa'u, that Shabbat was one of those dinim that was given beforehand. That they received the Shabbat in Mara. Mar savar Shabbat ikpid atuchumim lo ikpid, that they were given the mitzvah of Shabbat, but they were not given the mitzvah of tchumim, which is that you're not allowed to travel more than the 2,000 amot on Shabbat, or according to some of the Rishonim, maybe even in Doraita, you can't travel more than Machane Yisrael, which is 12 mil. The other possibility is that we're not talking about tchumim, but rather about hotza'ah, about carrying on Shabbat. That everybody agrees is problematic on Shabbat. And the question here is, were they nitztava on hotza'ah or not at Mara? Other opinion is that even about the din of tchumim, they were told about in Mara. They were told all those details. And therefore, there's a difference in their opinion about when they arrived in Midbar Sinai. According to the Mandamar that says they were told about the mitzvah of tchumim, they couldn't travel on Shabbat. They had to wait until Sunday. So on Sunday, they traveled from Mara to Midbar Sinai, and they also encamped in Midbar Sinai on that same day. And that's why it's the sixth day from their travels. On the other hand, according to the Mandamar, who says that they received Shabbat, but they did not receive the information about Tchumin, he says that they traveled on Shabbat from Mara, and they reached there and encamped there in Har Sinai on Sunday. But the travel had been already accomplished on Shabbat. And therefore, he says it's the sixth day from their encamping at Har Sinai, not the sixth day from their traveling, because they had traveled the previous day. Tosfot asks here, how do you know that the Shabbat that they were commanded on was in Mara? Maybe it came from the time that they learned about it from the month. So that's what it says, because it says both Kashir Tzivcha by Shabbat and Kashir Tzivcha by Kibbur Aveim. And like by Kibbur Aveim, it has to be by Mara, so too, the Gemara associates the Shabbat with that, it must be that it was by Mara. That's what then deals with the Midrashim that say that if Bnei Israel had kept one Shabbat, that everything would have been great, but he seems to say, look, there are plenty of Shabbatot between here and Mamad Har Sinai. So he doesn't understand why Bnei Israel had that failure to keep a single Shabbat, since there were at least three Shabbatot between the time of Mara until Mamad Har Sinai, and he leaves that with a question about those Midrashim. Tashma, Nisan, Shabo Yatsu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Barbar Sar, Shachtu Pischayim. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they brought the Korban of Pesach like in every other year, on the 14th of Nisan, Ubi Chamishasar Yatsu. And on the 15th, they left Mitzrayim, Ule Erev Lahu Bechorot. And at night, Hashem killed all the Bechorot. Le Erev Salkadatcho. What, the night after they left, Hashem killed all the Bechorot? That seems to be out of order. Ela, Mi Ba Erev Lahu Bechorot. The night before, I mean the night of the 15th, the Bechorot were killed. Voto Ayom Chamishi B'Shabbat Ayan. That day was Thursday. So they brought the Korban of Pesach on the 14th. The Bechorot are killed that night. And then the next morning, they leave Mitzrayim on the 15th. And that day that they leave Mitzrayim was a Thursday. So now, Me'o Chamesha B'Nisan Chamisha B'Shabbat. If the 15th of Nisan was on Thursday, that means that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was also on Thursday. Because Thursday would be the 1st of the month, the 8th of the month, and the 15th of the month. Now, Nisan, we know, is always Malay. It has a 30-day month to it. So therefore, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Thursday, then Reish Yarcho D'Iyar Shabto, that makes Rosh Chodesh Iyar on Shabbat. That's because you have 30 days. 28 days would be 4 full weeks, and then you have an additional 2 days to make up the 30. So if that's the case, if the 1st of Nisan was on a Thursday, that means that the 29th will fall out on Thursday, because that's 4 weeks later. And then the 30th will be Friday, and the 1st of Iyar will be Shabbat. Now, if Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Shabbat, we know that Iyar is always chaser. It only has 29 days to it. That means Rosh Chodesh will be a day later for Sivan. And that's exactly Veishachar of the Sivan, Chada B'Shabbat. And then Rosh Chodesh for Sivan will be on Sunday. Because if the 1st of Iyar is on Shabbat, the 29th of Iyar is on Shabbat, that means Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on Sunday. Kasho the Rabbanan. This is difficult for the Rabbanan, because this fits into Rabbi Yossi Shita that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. So Amar Lecha Rabbanan, Iyar Daishata Avrue Avrua. That year, Iyar was a full month. It had 30 days to it. So if you make it 30 days, then Rosh Chodesh Sivan will only start on Monday. So not only was Nisan Malay, but so was Iyar. Tosafot points out that if Thursday was the 15th of the month, that means that Shabbat was Yud. Shabbat was the 10th of the month. They brought the Korban of Pesach on the 14th on Wednesday. Means that they took the Korban, as Moshe instructs them, 4 days before that. And taking it 4 days before that, that was on the 10th of the month. Means the 10th fell out on Shabbat. And from here, Tosafot says, that's the reason we have Shabbat HaGadol before Pesach. Because on that year, the Shabbat HaGadol was the day that they took the Korban of Pesach in Mitzrayim, which was a dangerous act, which was a defiant act, and that's why it's called Shabbat HaGadol from all the miracles that happened, that Bnei Israel were still protected and safe, despite the fact that they were taking the God of Mitzrayim to be Makriv 4 days later as the Korban HaPesach. In addition to that, Tosfot mentions that the Bechorim, the firstborn of Mitzrayim, heard about what was going to transpire and that Hashem was going to kill all of the Bechorim in Mitzrayim, so they rebelled against Paro. And that's what Tosfot says is the source of the Makay Mitzrayim Bivchoreim, that Mitzrayim were killed or fought a civil war with the Bechorim because the Bechorim were upset. They saw Bnei Israel taking the Korban on Shabbat, and they knew what was about to happen, that they were all going to die. And therefore, they rebelled against Paro, and there was a civil war. Tashma d'lo avrua. We can prove to you that Iyar was not a 30-day month that year, because we have a more explicit braita that tells us all this information. Nisan, Shabbo Yatsu Yisrael Mitzrayim, Barabasar Shachatu Pischayim. Nisan, the Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim, they shechted their Pesachim on the 14th. V'chamishasar Yatsu, they left on the 15th. U'l'erev laku b'chorot, and that night the b'chorot were killed. Again, la'erev salkadatcha, ela'ema mi ba'erev laku b'chorot, the night before the b'chorot were killed. V'oto ayom chamishi b'shabbat haya, and the day they left was a Thursday. Hishlim Nisan, they finished up Nisan, v'ira Iyar liot b'shabbat. Then Iyar fell out on Shabbat, like we said before, because Nisan is Malay. Nisan's Malay, that means if Rosh Chodesh is on Thursday, that means that Rosh Chodesh Iyar will be on Shabbat. Chaser Iyar. Iyar is 29 days. It's a chaser. V'yar Sivan liot ve'achad b'Shabbat. And Sivan fell out on Sunday of that year. Rosh Chodesh was on that Sunday. Kasho the Rabbanan. It's clearly a problem for the Rabbanan, who say that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. Mar says, Amani Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has to be the author of that Baraita. And that's why it's not a question on the Rabbanan, because it's Rabbi Yossi l'shitato. Amra Papa Tashma, the Pasuk says, Vayisu Meilim Vayavo called up in Israel Midbar Sin, Asher Ben Elim Uben Sinai, Bachamisha Saryom, Lachodesh Hasheni, Seitan Beretz Mitzrayim. They ended up there on the 15th, on the second month after they left Mitzrayim, which means they were there on the 15th of Iyar. They end up in Elim. And Bnei Yisrael, once they reach there on the 15th, complain about the fact that they don't have mun. And then Moshe says to them, listen, Hashem's going to take care of you with the mun. And it says over there, for 6 days you're going to collect it. And then on the 7th day, there'll be Shabbat. So that means that the 15th was Shabbat, because after, subsequent to that, their arrival there, they have 6 days in which they collect the mun, and then the 7th day, when they have Shabbat. So you see from that, Umechamesh Asar B'Iyar B'Shabto, if the 15th of Iyar is on Shabbat, Reish Yarcho de Sivan Chad B'Shabot, then again, Rosh Chodesh Sivan will be on the 15th. Again, if the 15th of Iyar is on Shabbat, that means Rosh Chodesh Iyar was also on Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Shabbat, and Iyar is a Chaser, that means that one day later will be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So if on Shabbat was Rosh Chodesh Iyar, that means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan will be on Sunday, like Rabbi Yossi again. Kasha the Rabbanan, again it's problematic for Rabbanan. Amichal Rabbanan, Iyar da Ishata Ebure Abrua. Same answer that they gave before, that the Iyar of that year was a 30-day month, and because of that, it turned out that Rosh Chodesh Iyar was on Shabbat. Amar Le Rav Chavivi Mechozna, or other Girsot have Amar Rav Asi Mechozna, the Ravashi, Tashma. Vayi b'chodesh harishon b'shana shenit. It was on the first month in the second year, Be'achad Lagol Chodesh, on the first day of the month. This is Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year. Hukama Mishkan. The Mishkan was put into service. Tano Oto Yom Natal Eser Atarot. That day had 10 crowns to it. Rishon the Maaseh Breshit. It was the first day of creation. Rishon the Nisiim was the first day that Nisiim brought their Karbanot. That Nachshon ben Aminadav started to bring his Karbanot that are mentioned in Parshat Naso. Rishon the Kehuna was the first day that Aaron Ubanav served as Kohanim in the Mishkan. Rashi claims that it was the Bechorot that did the Avodah before this. Other places in Shas, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah for the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. Rishon the Avodah was the first day of service in the Mishkan. Rishon the Ridat HaEish was the first time that Hashem's fire came down from heaven to swallow the karbanot. Rishon Achilat Kodoshim was the first day that Kodoshim were eaten. Rishon Nishkon Ashchina, that was the first day that Hashem Shchina rested on the Mishkan and stayed in the Mishkan. Rishon Varechet Yisrael was the first day that they had Birkat Kohanim in Klal Yisrael. Rishon Yisur HaBamot was the first day there was now a restriction against using Bamot, because the Mishkan was the center of Karbanot now. Rishon HaChodeshim, and it was the first of the months. It was a Nisan. What you see from this is that Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year was on a Sunday. Now the Gemara tells us that if that's the case, Midrash Yachon the Nisan the Haishat the Chad B'Shalat, if the Rosh Chodesh in the second year after Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim was on Sunday, Dishtaka, that means that the previous year, B'dalu B'Shabbat, it had to be on Wednesday, the Tanya, because we have a brayta that says, Echarim Omrim. Others say, and this is a principle that we follow for the calendar today, Ein ben Atzeret le'Atzeret, Vein ben Rosh Hashanah le'Rosh Hashanah. There's no difference between Shavuot this year to Shavuot next year. And there's no difference between Rosh Hashanah this year and Rosh Hashanah next year. Ella Dalid Yamim Bilvad, except for 4 days. There's a difference of 4 days between the 2 years, and that's because a lunar year is 354 days. 350 is divisible by 7, that's 50. So therefore, the next year will have the same day of the week, except for those additional 4 days of the 354. So those additional 4 days tell you that the subsequent year, whatever day it was this year, the subsequent year will be 4 days later. So if I tell you that Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the second year was on Sunday, that means that 4 days earlier was the Rosh Chodesh of the previous year. 4 days earlier, Shabbat, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. That makes Wednesday Rosh Chodesh in the previous year. If it's a leap year, then you have a 5 day difference. And that's because in a leap year you have 354 plus an additional 29 days for Adar Bet. That's assuming here that the additional Adar is Chaser. And given that, you now have 383 days. Between the 2 years, 378 is divisible by 7, it's 54, and then you have an additional 5 days to get to the 383 days of that lunar year. That means that there's a 5 day difference between the previous year and the next year when there's a leap year there. If that's the case, that means that if in the year they left Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh was on Wednesday, that means that Rosh Chodesh Iyar now is on Friday. Because like we said before, Nisan's a Malay, 2 days later will be Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And then Rosh Chodesh Sivan will be a day later because it's a 29-day month Iyar, it's a Chaser. That means Rosh Chodesh Sivan will turn out to be on Shabbat. It's Kasha ben the Rabbi Yossi ben the Rabbanan. Problematic for both Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi thinks Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, and the Rabbanan thinks Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. So Rabbi Yossi Shiva Chaserim Avud. So in that year, according to Rabbi Yossi, they must have done 7 Chaserim. They must have done 7 months where they were chaser, and therefore it turned out that it wasn't a 4-day difference between them, but only a 3-day difference between the years, because they added in one chaser. 354 days of a lunar calendar is based on 6 months of 30 days and 6 months of 29 days. So if you add in an additional 29-day month instead of 30 days, you subtract 1 day, which means the lunar year is 353 days. If it's 353 days, that means that the difference between the years is only 3 days. The Rabbanan, Chet Chaserim Avod. And for the Rabbanan, we have to say there were 8 months that were 29 days, because that'll make the lunar year 352 days. That means that if on the subsequent year Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Sunday, that means in the previous year it was on Friday. And based on that, then the Chachamim or the Rabbanan will come out that their Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Sunday, and their Rosh Chodesh Sivan will be on Monday. According to Rabbi Yossi, you'll have a 353-day lunar year, because he has 7 chaserim instead of 6 chaserim. And because of that, if in the subsequent year Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, that means in the previous year Rosh Chodesh was on Thursday. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Thursday, Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Shabbat, and Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on Sunday. And that's how they'll reconcile with their positions. Tosfot points out, in truth, the Chachamim did not have to say that there were 8 chaser months. They could have just said, like Rabbi Yossi, that there were 7 chaser months, and say, like they've been saying until now, that first year Iyar was Malay. And if Iyar is Malay, then it would postpone the Rosh Chodesh to the date that they needed. Tashma, the Tanya B'Seder Olam, we have in the Breita of Seder Olam Rabbo, Nisan Shebo Yatzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim Barba Asar Shachatu Pischem, 15 Yatzu. On that day it was Erev Shabbat. If it was Erev Shabbat when the 15th, when they left Mitzrayim, that means Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Friday. If that's the case, Rosh Yarchad the Nisan Erev Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Erev Shabbat, Rosh Yarchad the Iyar Chad B'Shabbat. That means that Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Sunday. B'Sivan, and that means Sivan B'Trei Shabbat. And that means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan will turn out to be on Monday. Kasha the Rabbi Yossi, that's a problem for Rabbi Yossi. I'm the Rabbi Yossi, I'm Ani Rabbanani. The Braita of Seder Olam Rabbo is authored based on the position of the Rabbanan, not my position. Tashma, Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'sheni Allah Moshe V'yarad. On the second day, Moshe went up and came down. B'shlishi Allah V'yarad. On the third day, he went up and came down. B'dalad Yarad, B'shuv Lo Allah. On the Wednesday, he came down, and he never went back up. Me'achar Shelo Allah, Me'achan Yarad. If he didn't go up, how did he ever come down on that Wednesday? Ella B'rivi Allah V'yarad. On the fourth day, he also went up and came down. B'chamisha Bana Mizbeach. On the fifth day, he built the Mizbeach, B'kriv Alav Karban. He brought the carbonot that are mentioned in Pershat Mishpatim. Bishishi lo haya lo pnai. On Friday he had no free time. My la mishum do Torah. Maybe because it was Matan Torah. Lo mishum Torah Shabbat. Preparing for the Shabbat. So therefore, if it works out now, according to Rabbi Yossi, that this is the layout of the week. They arrived on Sunday, which was Chodesh Sivan. On the second day also being the second day of Sivan, also Monday, Moshe goes up and comes down, and that is the Brit of Atem Tiyulim, Amlechet Kohanim. On Tuesday, which is the third day of the week, the third day of the month, he's Allah V'yarad. He goes up and comes down, which was the mitzvah of Hagbalah, according to Rabbi Yossi. Then on Wednesday, Moshe goes up and comes down again, and that was the mitzvah of Hafrasha that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on the third day. On the third time he went up, which is Wednesday, the fourth day of the week, the fourth day of Sivan. B'chamishi, which is Thursday and the fifth day of Sivan, that which transpired in Pashat Mishpatim took place there. They brought the Korbanot, they did the Avodat HaMizbeach of the Shlamim and the Olot that were brought at the foot of Har Sinai. On Friday, which is the sixth of Sivan and the sixth day of the week, they prepared for Shabbat. And then on the seventh day, they got the Torah. Tarashahu Gilila lay to Rabbi Chista, that this Gilila said about Rabbi Chista, Brich Romana de Avorayin, Tlitai, La'am Tlitai, Adide Tilai. That Baruch Hashem, Diayiv Orion Tlitai, he gave the Torah the third, La'am Tlitai to the third nation, Ayide Tlitai on the third one, Beyom Tlitai on the third day, Biyarcha Tlitai in the third month. Come on, who's that like? That's like the Rabbanan. Let's understand each of these statements. It's in the third month, which is Sivan. It's on the third day of Prisha. The third day of Prisha works according to the Rabbanan, who say that they separated for 2 days, and then the third day they got the Torah. It's given by the third, Ayudei Tlidai, because Moshe is the third child of Amram and Yochavet. You have Aaron, Miriam, and then Moshe. It's given to La'am Tlidai, which is a nation made up of three, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And Orion Tlitai, the Tanakh, which is Torah Nevi'im Ektuvim, which made up of three parts. So this Orion Tlitai was given in the Amtlitai, the nation made up of Kohanim Levim Israel, by the third child of Amram and Yochevet, on the third day after they were Poresh Min Aisha, Biyachatulai in the third month, which is Sivan. Come on, that works like the Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan say that there were only 3 days of Prisha, 2 days, and then the third day the Torah is given. According to Rabbi Yossi, there were 3 days of Prisha, and then only on the fourth day was the Torah given. So that Galilean that was Doresh before Rav Chista said this Drosha, and this Drosha clearly follows the position of the Chachamim. Okay, we'll stop over here.